Welcome to the Mark in the Morning podcast. Want to receive this daily? Search Mark in the Morning on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, or wherever you get your podcasts.
April is Stress Awareness Month. Well, here's a tip from my friends at Casper. A great night's sleep helps everyone deal with stress, and sleeping on a Casper can help you. Not to mention, they've taken all the hassle out of mattress shopping. It's engineered with two high-tech foams for supportive comfort that guarantee a great night's sleep. Time Magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015. In fact, it's now the most awarded mattress of the century. The mattress ships for free in a surprisingly compact box, by the way, so it's incredibly easy to get to your bedroom. And you can try it in your own home for 100 nights risk-free. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. Reduce your stress with a great night's sleep on a Casper. Try yours for 100 nights in your own home with free shipping and returns. Go to Casper.com and use code Gina, G-I-N-A, for $50 toward the purchase of your mattress. That's Casper.com, Gina, for $50 toward the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com, terms and conditions apply.
Oh, yeah. I don't like it. I love it, love it, love it. So good it hurts. I don't want it.
Welcome into a Wednesday.
I gotta have it.
If you woke up healthy, it's a great day.
When I can't find the words, I just go.
All right, now I cracked up. I got an email last night from Josh. The email is going to be part of the topic that we're going to discuss today. I've got two topics I want to get into. I've got some pretty bad Donald Trump parodies that we'll share with you. Hey, they're free. All right, now, Gina's going to be all nuts about this today. We have a guest, Barbara Williams. She has a new television show called 60 Days In.
Oh, you've heard is this what I think it is?
Yeah.
Does she go to prison?
She doesn't, but volunteers do.
Okay, I'm in.
60 days, they're in prison.
No, she's in. She's in.
Oh, I thought at the bottom she says she's not.
No, okay. She was in.
Where do I sign?
Would you actually go to prison?
If it wasn't because I was actually convicted of a crime and just undercover, yes.
Yeah, but
I will stop being obsessed with prisons when I actually get arrested for some heinous crime and have to go for real. Until that point, I am obsessed with prisons.
God, what if they did you with a broom handle?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, that goes on.
Gina, you're bait.
Can I at least wear a vest so I don't get shanked in the lunch line?
I would visit you and sneak in food for you.
Oh, thanks, Jackie.
You're welcome.
And then Jackie will end up in prison.
Yeah, I'd load my butt with stuff and bring it to you.
You are too sweet. You know, now I know I'm really amongst family.
A carton of cigarettes.
Thanks. That's just for trade, yeah.
Now, T.C. Cano, he works for Disney. I have worked with this man for the better part of 30 years. Today, I have 30 pretty cool Disney fun facts, and T.C. is going to join me for this.
Ooh.
So that he can confirm or deny and maybe tell us a little bit of the story behind, because some of these are pretty rocking. We have in the room Ricky Schroeder and Alfonso Ribeiro.
Yes.
Now, we're going to have to get It's Not Unusual ready.
Yes.
And we're going to have to Facebook Live because he is going to do the Carlton.
And the Silver Spoons theme song. Or Gina and I could do it if you want.
They were on Silver Spoons together.
Yeah.
It's going to be a Silver Spoons reunion.
In the room, and they're both coming in.
Yeah.
So that's pretty rocking. And today, Gina will sing with Dolly Parton.
Oh, that's right. Wow. I will. Yeah, I will.
Mark, Mike TV is worth promoting today.
Okay, yeah, Mikey periodically has a really good one, and today,
periodically,
here's a hint, today we're actually blowing off the song for what he has in Mike TV. So that's going to be coming your way in about 20 minutes. I'll come back and share the email. Danny, as soon as Josh and Chris Santoyo are in the building, I want them in the room together.
Okay.
I'll read this email when we come back, and then we'll open the phones, because Topic World has arrived. This is Mark in the Morning.
We get letters. We get stacks and stacks of letters.
So I got this last night from Josh Flieger, the Flieganator. He said, this came up, I'm reading the email, this came up in my office today and caused quite a commotion. What is the worst candy ever? This almost came to blows. I am no longer speaking with Chris Santoyo. He likes the worst candies ever.
That was my contribution. Mark, this went on for a solid 2 hours. There was screaming, there was crying, mostly from me. And it involved Mikey, Josh, Chris Santoyo, Andy Chanley, Sam Peasley. It was insane the kind of crappy candy these people like.
Well, not me, those guys.
Oh, yeah, they were the worst.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is like movies or books you like or you don't like. And a lot of times you're going to run into people. I'll start it. And we're going to open the phones, 888-696-1003. What is the worst candy ever? I'll start it. Every Halloween, Linda years ago bought a witch's house.
Mm-hmm.
And you take the roof off and you dump candy corn, which is the worst candy. So you dump it all in, you fill it, and there's a trough at the bottom. And so that fills with the candy corn. And then when you take a handful out to eat, it just, she replaces. Will eat 2 to 3 houses full of candy corn every Halloween. I don't know.
Candy corn's disgusting.
It's, made it's of like wax.
Crap. Yes. Yeah. And yesterday I said the only thing worse than candy corn are the candy pumpkins because there's more mush in the middle.
Yeah, I need my candy to give me something, yes. And the candy corn just does not.
Oh,
however,
it's disgusting.
She will spend the entire month, you know, she'll be in the kitchen, she'll grab a handful and nibble on that. Then in the afternoon, grab a handful and nibble on that. And then the other topic I'd love to get into, I don't know that we're going to get any calls. Feel free, if you want to call and share, feel free, you can change your name. But the topic is, I am the side piece. Or I was the side piece.
I pick up what you're putting down.
Have you had an affair with a married person? Did it work for you? Did it not work for you? What attracted you? I'd like to open that up. And again, I'm going to have to beg for people to call because I don't think many people want to get into it. But I am the side piece. So the worst candies ever. And I am the side piece.
Mark, I'm sharing more about myself than I intended to this early in the morning, but that may or may not have been the episode of Golden Girls that I watched and enjoyed and laughed through last night. It is my favorite show, and this was when Dorothy was the side piece with the gym teacher.
Not Dorothy.
Yes.
She's the teacher.
It was amazing.
Oh,
I have never,
no.
never in my life seen a Golden Girls.
Mark, you're doing yourself a huge disservice.
It's really
the
good.
Writing's amazing. The acting's amazing. What's wrong
Mark,
with you?
Mark, please.
Yeah, and
there's a whore, Blanche.
Yeah, and it's not for chicks. I mean, dude, it's a good show for us guys, too. It spans all.
And when did you watch people. It, Mikey? While you were doing what?
I don't know what.
Babysitting, remember?
Oh, that's right. I used to babysit these kids, and it was on Saturday night, so I would watch Golden Girls, yeah.
Can we just talk about Golden Girls till 10?
Yes.
How did you get into babysitting?
It's friends of the, as everybody does, friends of the family. They needed, the kids were like 4 years younger than me, so I babysat them.
Did you get paid?
Of course. And the kicker was, though, the house we always had, the dad had the Playboy channel and Playboys. So when the kids went to sleep, I turned on the Playboy channel.
Wait a second. The dad had the Playboy channel and Playboys. So when the kids went to sleep, Mikey watched Golden Girls.
No, when the kids were up, we watched Golden Girls. They went to sleep.
That's fuzzy math, Mikey.
I turned
Mikey.
On the Playboy
okay.
channel.
All right.
All right, so we want to know what is the worst candy to you, Gina?
There's so many. I didn't realize how much candy I hated, but I got to go with black licorice.
Really? Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Licorice.
Yeah.
Worst. I like Twizzlers, the red ones.
Mm-hmm,
the,
mm-hmm.
Is that licorice?
That's called red licorice. But, yeah, the black licorice, the disgusting aftertaste, I hate it.
It's like you're eating a tire.
Agreed.
Mikey, do you have one? Worst candy?
The first thing that popped in my head was Biddle honey. I don't get it. What's the point?
They're disgusting.
I could just go get honey out of the cupboard and put
it's
a spoon
like
in it.
It's like chewy crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jackie?
I don't like chocolate-covered raisins.
Agreed.
Raisinettes?
Stop. Shut up.
No,
and
Jackie,
then with chocolate,
I'm with you.
Wait, when I go to the movie, I get a medium popcorn and a bottle of water. I'm not going to eat anything fat. That water, you know, that'll keep me thin.
Uh-huh.
Right? But when I'm splurging, it's Raisinettes. Now,
really?
I would rather have the chocolate-covered peanuts,
yeah.
But chocolate-covered raisins are great.
I'm with you, girl.
So.
You know what else is disgusting that I absolutely hate that Andy Chanley was eating yesterday, and we are on two totally different sides of the spectrum?
Oh, yeah.
Whoppers.
Oh, I like those. Those are good.
Oh, no, that malt ball crap.
It's like dried milk.
the association with this is strong, and you've all had it. I was laying on the couch when I was a kid, and Whoppers came in a milk carton, big milk carton. And I had opened them up, and I'm laying on the couch watching TV, and I'm just eating the Whopper. And my mother said, you better be careful, you're going to get sick. I ate the entire milk carton, threw them up, and I can't even look at them.
Because
when you're puking Whoppers, it's just no good. Yeah. All right, when we come back from business, we've got us a good Mike TV.
I never figured you'd place
quite. Oh, sorry.
What was this?
Spitting on the screen again. So stay where you are. Mike TV is in 5 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning. All right, so I've got a side piece phone call. Before I go to it, the general manager of this building, Peter Burton, came in and just tore me a new one based on my pickup line from yesterday.
He really pulled out his A game for that one.
Gina said he ranted all day yesterday about this. All right, so we got a couple of topics going. One, what is the worst candy? Two, I was the side piece. Bubba has called from San Ramon. Good morning, Bubba.
Call me whatever you want to call me.
You had an affair with a married woman?
Yeah, so I was a school teacher at the time down in Santa Barbara, and there were a couple kids that I taught that were her kids. And I absolutely fell in love with the children, and I've always been a family person. My mom and dad are from the South. I'm an inbred, kind of like you, Mark. And and we cherish family, and I just fell in love with the idea of being a dad, and so I hooked up with her to be with her kids.
Wow.
Now, she was married at the time?
Yeah.
And how long did the affair go?
About 6 months, and it got right to that point, and then the dad found out and got in my face and couldn't do anything about me teaching the kids, but told me to stay the half away from his wife.
Did you ever have affection for her?
Oh, yeah. No, she was gorgeous, man. She was Swiss.
And was the sex super hot?
Let's put it this way. When you're with someone that's at least 10 years older than you, they know exactly what they want.
Well, and do you regret it?
No, not a bit. Are you kidding me?
Interesting. Well, Bubba,
listen, the candy bar thing. Snickers makes the absolute best bar in the world. It's the almond Snickers.
Ooh.
And I don't know why they did it, but they screwed up and they came out with this Snickers Crispy. It's in a blue package.
I've seen it.
It tastes like ass.
Hey, Bubba, we appreciate you calling. Appreciate you sharing. Let's jump us into a Mike TV.
Now, the name soon to be heard around the universe is Mr. Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
Yeah, I do. And I want to start off first with Conan O'Brien. He had two just awesome Mark-like jokes last night. You and Conan would be best friends. Here we go.
This is a true story. Over the weekend at a Bernie Sanders rally, a woman took off her top and revealed anti-Trump messages. Yes. Yes, witnesses say she made two good points. A researcher found that blonde women are slightly smarter than brunettes. Yeah. The researcher said it's not true, but that line tends to work on blonde women in a bar.
Did Conan have been listening yesterday, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, you think
but anyways, the other thing that I wanted to play, which Mark's been hyping, is Jimmy Fallon and Chris Martin from Coldplay did this backstage performance of Life on Mars, a David Bowie song. Mm-hmm. Chris is on piano. One of Conan's guitarists comes in and plays guitar. One of Jimmy Fallon's. And Jimmy, as you know, does great impressions. He does an incredible David Bowie impression, and this is just beautiful. Here's Life on Mars with Jimmy Fallon and Chris Martin.
It's a god-awful small affair. To the girl with the mousy hair. But her mommy is yelling no, and her daddy has told her to go. But her friend is nowhere to be seen, Now she walks through a sunken dream to the seat with the clearest view, and she's hooked to the silver screen. But the film is a saddening bore, for she's lived it 10 times or more. She could spit in the eyes of fools as they ask her to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Oh man, look at those cavemen go. It's the freakiest show. Take a look at the old man beating up the wrong guy. Oh man, wonder if he'll ever know. The best-selling show is The Life on Mars. It's on the America's tortured brow. The Mickey Mouse has grown up a cow. Now the workers are struck to fame, 'cause Lenin's on sale again. See the mice and their million hordes, from Ibiza to the Norfolk Broads. Rule Britannia is out of bounds to my mother, my dog, my clowns. But the film is a saddening bore, 'cause I wrote it 10 times or more. Well, it's about to be written again, as I ask you to focus on sailors fighting in the dance hall. Oh man, look at those cavemen go. It's the freakiest show. Take a look at the old man beating up the wrong guy. Never know. He's in the best-selling show. Is there life on Mars? Oh, 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 oh. La da da da. La da 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 da.
Man, is there anything Fallon can't do?
I know. It's amazing. And I put that up on Mark in the Morning's Facebook page. The video as well is so touching, and you can feel Jimmy's emotion. You can see it in his face and his singing. It's just, it's pretty beautiful. And there you go. There's Mike TV.
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.
All right. And we have Chris Santoyo and Sam Peasley in here. Chris, what the hell happened in Josh's office yesterday? He says it almost came to blows, you're not speaking with each other, and that you like the worst candies.
I don't know. You make one little comment about bottle caps and Josh flips his lid.
Okay. Technically, I have to get the story straight. I may have added the part that I'm not speaking to Chris Santoyo because he likes the worst candies.
You know, you guys all have it wrong on candy corns. That little pasty, who knows what it is. Oh,
no. Well, then so you and Linda, you need to come over, and y'all, you and Linda can just attack the witch's house just enjoy all the candy corn you want.
And then they came out with the candy pumpkin.
Those are worse than the candy corns.
Do you eat wax?
Sam Peasley, who works here, what is your department? Your social media? I mean, you do all kinds of crap.
I just call it digital.
Okay. Well, look, we talked yesterday, and the next time I'm in California, we want to go out and shoot a music video, and we want to pay homage to the worst music video in the history. I've never seen a band take a great song and then just the song is so great, the video is in my butt. So we need to go out and shot for shot recreate the Separate Ways video from Journey.
Kill your music, Mark.
I haven't seen it.
How come I kill my music?
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Where they're all playing air instruments for half the video.
Sam,
it's amazing. In an industrial park.
Just look it up.
Yeah.
They spent $10 on this thing. Yeah. They shot it in an afternoon. It is awful. And the beauty of it is if we do it exactly like they did it.
Yeah.
Shot for shot. Now, Danny had a good idea. We could reach out to a college film crew that wants to come do it. And then we go out and we'll have a debut for it, a premiere.
Let's do it. I'm in for it. I'm in.
I thought somebody asked a question.
That's Sam's excitement voice.
Yeah. That's my excitement voice. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. But do we have to pay you in a bucket of sugar daddies or horrible candy like that?
Just don't pay me in popcorn flavored jelly beans.
Those are my favorite. Those are amazing.
All right. Well, the topics, we've got several calls. We'll come back with them. What is the worst candy you've ever eaten? And like I say, Josh and Chris went at it just because Chris likes bottle caps, did you say?
No, Josh likes bottle caps. Bottle caps are a weird combination of Necco wafers and wannabe sweet tarts. I don't know what's going on.
The root beer bottle cap is the greatest thing ever.
See, Mark, it got heated so fast and it didn't stop for 2 hours.
That's hysterical. All right, so we'll come back. What is your worst candy? 888-696-1003. You boys look all cute in your ties today.
We got a little bit of a presentation this morning.
Got some business. Well, good luck with it. Let us know what we hear. All right, we'll do business and come back. This is Mark in the Morning. The Rolling Stones have posted a video greeting to their fans in Cuba ahead of their free show in Havana this Friday, their first ever performance on the island. Speaking in Spanish, Mick Jagger says, "Hello, Cuba. We are very excited to be coming to play for you. We have performed in many incredible places, but this concert in Havana is going to be a historic event for us. We hope it will be for you. Thank you for welcoming us to your beautiful country. We hope to see you all on March 25th. At the event.
Hola, Cuba!
Estamos muy felices de tocar para ustedes. Hemos tocado en muchos lugares increíbles, pero este concierto en La Habana será histórico para nosotros. Esperamos que lo sea para ustedes también. Gracias por darnos la bienvenida a su hermoso país. Esperamos verlos a todos el 25 de marzo en Ciudad de Deportiva de La Habana.
I wonder how long he had to work on getting that right. Or maybe he speaks Spanish.
Well, is there anything better than Spanish with a thick British accent?
No kidding. Seriously.
The phones are packed with worst candy. We'll get to that in a minute. Right now, let's find out what's trending.
Well, a 19-year-old who was injured in the explosion in Brussels was also a block away from the finish line in the Boston Marathon attack and in France during the Paris attacks. So we hope he is all right. Starbucks has plans to start donating 100% of its unsold food to those...
Hi.
I'm trying to tell a good feel-good story.
Hi.
To those in need. And here's what's trending in sports. The Kings lost to the Minnesota Wild in St. Paul yesterday.
Two in a row.
I know. 2-1.
Stop reporting the losses.
Hey, man. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Trending brought to you by Subaru. The Subaru Love Spring event is happening now through March 31st. Hey, Mark.
Hi.
Guys, coming up, really bad Trump parodies, but first a little Steely Dan. This is Mark in the Morning. Hi.
Okay, here's the first bad Trump parody.
Who is going to vote for Hillary over Trump? You want Trump?
Might as well Trump.
It's another Bernie sign.
Might as well Trump.
Get out of here, Bernie.
Don't be a chump.
Get him out of here. Well, it adds excitement, doesn't it, folks?
Trump!
All right, we're talking about the worst candies ever. I got another one. I got another Trump thing, and I'll get to it. We're talking about the worst candies ever. On the phone, I got Tina, I got Aaron, I got Abe. Tina, what is the worst candy in your opinion?
Necco wafers.
Oh, yeah.
There's no reason for those to exist.
Yeah, good one.
They're like chalk.
Aaron, how about you?
Peeps. I hate peeps.
Got a box of them right here.
Yeah, no. I'm not a marshmallow guy.
Neither am I.
I don't vit, but I am attracted to the Easter colors that they come out with. The purples and the blues and the yellow. I like to look at them, I don't like to eat them. Abe, what about you?
How's it going?
Going good,
Abe. Mike and Ike's.
Oh, so with you on that. That is like licorice juji fruit.
No, that's it's good and plenty that you're thinking of is the licorice.
Oh, I like Mike and Ike's.
Yeah, you like Mike and Ike's. Mike and Ike's are the fruitier ones.
Oh, yeah, no, those are good.
Yeah.
Now, a cousin to that that I love are hot tamales.
Really?
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, the cinnamon.
But
oh,
you
yeah.
love spicy.
Yeah. Yeah. Linda and I will open the box while we're driving on a vacation or whatever and just polish it.
Wow.
What are those candies that are pink and white and they're so nasty?
Good and plenty.
That's good and plenty.
Oh, okay, okay.
They're horrible.
Those are so gross.
Yeah. As my brother says, they taste like chalk.
Yeah.
Second Trump parody.
We need to build a wall.
We don't need no immigration.
Oh, God.
It was bound to happen.
It has to be built quickly.
We don't need no border patrol.
Oh, boy.
We will have a wall. The wall will be built.
No sanctuary in our city.
How are you going to make them pay for the wall?
Agents, leave them kids alone.
I will, and the wall just got 10 feet taller, believe me.
Hey, Popo, leave them kids alone.
I'm going to build a wall. I'm the one that wants the wall. I'm the one that can build the wall.
All in all, it's just a giant Mexican wall.
And by the way, Mexico is going to pay for the wall.
All in all, it's just a giant Mexican wall.
Speaking of such, on a day when much of the world was focused on the terror attacks in Brussels, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton scored another big win in their quest for the White House Tuesday by taking Arizona. However, Sanders beat Clinton in Utah caucuses, and Cruz had an early lead there over Trump. Idaho was also up for grabs on Tuesday for the Democrats. Cruz won the GOP causes there earlier in the month. And did you hear what former President Bill Clinton said?
No.
He said, while campaigning for his wife in Spokane, Washington, Monday, seemingly knocked President Obama's legacy in a rift that his aide said was unintended. Quote, if you believe we can rise together, if you believe we've finally come to the point where we can put the awful legacy of the past 8 years behind us and the 7 years before that, where we were practicing trickle-down economics, then you should vote for Hillary. The former president said. Republicans immediately seized on the comment, with the Republican National Committee arguing that the comment is about as off message as you can get. A Clinton aide clarified that the former president was referring to the GOP's and not President Obama's legacy. Then you need to find a better way to say it.
Yeah, if I was trying to get a job and my boyfriend thought the best way to do it would be to bash my current employer, I think that would be a pretty terrible move.
On the other side of CCR, the question is posed, how long do you wait in a relationship to fart in front of each other? Don't worry, we'll break it down. Right now, my question to you is, have you ever seen the rain? Creedence and Boys, this is Mark in the Morning.
Ooh, that smell.
Show your love by farting. Roses may smell sweet, but the best way to get an idea of how your new relationship is going is to fart in front of them. Their survey was taken of users to determine when they thought it was okay to fart by breaking wind for the first time. And they found the most common answer was between 2 and 6 months,
ooh,
or right around the same time you say, I love you. 29% said it took 2 to 6 months to get comfy enough to do it. 25% said it took a little longer, 6 to 12. 22% of those surveyed moved faster. They said they ripped in 3 weeks. 10% took the practical route, saying, as soon as I have to. 9% needed a year. And about 4% still have not farted in front of their significant other. Or so they say. Now, Gina.
Yeah.
You've been with Tim how long?
2 years. A little over 2 years.
And?
Personally, and I think it's a gender thing, I'm not a fan. It freaks me out. I'm not trying to do that. But guys, and every guy I've ever dated, thinks not only is it perfectly fine, but it's hilarious.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
It is funny. Yeah.
Farting is hysterical.
It is. Oh my
now, gosh. So Jackie, I'm assuming you fart in front of your fella?
Look, yes. Yes, but I don't find it, I think it's okay, but it makes me pissed off when he farts and it stinks. Like, I look at him and I'm just like, I'm gonna effing kill you. Like, it makes me mad.
Well, but let's talk it through. I mean, by nature, your body has air in it, and the inside of your body doesn't smell that good. So you're basically smelling innards.
Ugh. Well, we could be in a fight, but if the dog farts, it's just it breaks the fight. We're laughing. Oh. It's funny. I think they're hilarious, but I hate when they smell. It just makes me upset.
Now, one of the things I love about dog, as they get older, whenever my dog jumps up on the outdoor couch, you know, he pushes it out. That to me, that's funny for days. That's a gift that just keeps on giving. Mikey, what about you?
Oh, yeah, we fart. I mean, I don't remember a time where we didn't fart in front of each other.
Wow.
We've been together for 10 years, so it's been a while since.
Gina, have you ever farted in front?
Oh, I'm sure I have, but it's not like, it's not something I go out of my way to do.
Yeah. No, it's not like I'm like, hey, babe.
because some people are.
I know.
And that freaks me out. Yeah.
It's healthy to fart.
Yeah. And a lot.
All right, let's go to Christy. The topic we're talking today, what is the worst candy? Christy, what's the worst for you?
Hello, Radio God.
Hello.
Hi. Happy National Puppy Day, by the way.
Happy what?
National Puppy Day.
It is.
It's National Puppy Day.
Jolly Ranchers are the worst. Jolly Ranchers are the best.
I don't know that I've ever had a Jolly Rancher.
What?
I don't
Jolly
know that
Rancher
I have.
Is a waste of time. It takes forever to get done. Yeah, it's like
they
a hard candy.
They have chewy ones though now.
Oh, they do?
Yeah,
I would do that.
Good. I don't
any
think
candy
I've traveled
that takes
that road.
Like an hour to get down is a waste.
One we talked about yesterday that we all agreed I think we hated. Do you remember Now and Laters?
I've heard of it.
They will pull your fillings out. Like, you couldn't eat them with braces. It's they're like, just hard and chewy, like a Venus flytrap in
like
your mouth.
Yeah, it's like hard taffy. It's really just awful.
Amy brought this up to me the other day. Amy had braces. Right, she's got the most beautiful teeth. Thank you very much that I paid for. But she had braces, and she would get gunk in them and would not. I would get in her bathroom, hold her head, and scrub those braces to get them clean. And she reminded me that I used to do that. John, have we talked to you about your worst candy?
Oh, jujubes.
Jujubes.
Oh, those are good.
People don't like the sticky stuff.
And Al, what about you? Worst candy?
Yeah, I'll agree about the Peeps, but one spin on it is you take it and put it on some cinnamon graham crackers and make a cinnamon and sugar s'mores. Tastes pretty good.
So as long as you kill the peep, it tastes good.
You gotcha.
Got it.
Thank you so much. Crosby, Stills, and Nash hate each other. It appears the feud between David Crosby and Graham Nash stems from Nash's 2013 autobiography, Wild Tales, A Rock and Roll Life. Crosby tells the San Diego Union-Tribune, Graham's book is full of inaccuracies and chock full of misinformation. When he handed an advance copy to me, he said, it's too late to change anything, but here it is. I was very unhappy about it. It is very shallow, a very self-serving book, and full of BS, chock full. Asked about the future of Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Crosby said, I wouldn't say Crosby, Stills, and Nash is alive and well. I'd say it's on indefinite hold. And regarding Nash's recent comments that Crosby had been awful to him for the last 2 years, Crosby said, quote, I don't want to even go there. I'm going to take the high road. My guess is Crosby is a complete tool. I've never met him. I don't know. Just little bits that I've picked up.
Didn't he father Melissa Etheridge's child?
Yep. Yes.
So many fun facts.
Now, one of the, along with the worst candy, and there's no rhyme or reason, the other topic we've got going is I was or am the side piece. We have Vicky, who is called from Glendora. That's not your real name, is it, Vicky?
No.
Okay, good. So you had an affair or you are having an affair with a married man?
No, I had one.
Had one. How long did it last?
About 5 years.
Wow. So how did you get into it?
I had started a new job, and I was, in this person helped me kind of see the, you know, way around the office and where things were, this, that, and the other. And we just became friends, and we were coworkers for quite a while. And then one thing led to another because I liked him a lot, and, you know, he was just, it just sort of evolved and started having a relationship.
So were you married as well at the time?
No.
But he was?
Yes.
And for 5 years it went on?
Yeah.
And did he ever say, I'm going to leave my wife for you?
No. He actually said he wouldn't. But I didn't believe it because I felt like the way the relationship was going, that there was just no possibility that there would, you know, because it was just going so well. And it wasn't just sex. It was, you know, whole, you know, doing things together. And I don't even know how he managed it, you know.
How often did you get together?
Well, at least once a week because we had lunch hour. But anyhow, yeah, we were at least once a week, probably, at least for the first few years. And then after that, it dwindled off because I changed jobs.
So did you date other people during that 5 years?
Briefly, one other person. But and that guy was kind of a tool.
Why did affair...
You'd think the other guy was a tool, but... No.
Why did the affair end?
I finally realized it wasn't going to happen for me, and I wanted a future, and I wanted a family, and so forth and so on.
Do you regret doing it?
No. We're still friends, actually.
Was there any guilt?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was still so hot, it didn't matter.
Well, it was just, I just was so in love with him I just thought it eventually, I didn't really believe that he could love two people. Mm. And I think he really did.
Did he ever tell you he loved you?
Yeah, all the time.
Wow. Hey, Vicky, very kind of you to share. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. See you soon. On the other side of Ramble On, we're going to speak with Barbara Williams. She has a television show, 60 Days In. It's about prison. We'll discuss it with her in 10 minutes. Okay. Steven Adler of Guns N' Roses fame had his April 1st show at the Whiskey A Go-Go in L.A. canceled. And this has set off a flurry of rumors. The tweet from the club read, "The Steven Adler show on April 1st has been canceled. Stay tuned for a big announcement. Ooh. Hashtag Guns N' Roses." That big announcement had fans speculating on two possibilities. That Adler will be rehearsing a few songs with Guns N' Roses the day ahead of their shows in Las Vegas on April 8th and 9th, or that Guns N' Roses will be using the Whiskey as a warm-up gig that night.
Ooh.
There is also a third possibility. Some folks have mentioned it's all a setup for an elaborate April Fool's joke.
Mark? That would be mean. People are really excited about this.
Mark, yeah. I've asked you this before. If it is a Guns N' Roses like secret show at the Whiskey, mm-hmm. you have to call Slash for me. I have to be there. I have to be there. Before Pearl Jam came along, it was all Guns N' Roses for me.
Mikey.
You have to call. So you have to do a solid for me.
Please, Mikey. Mark, do it for Mikey.
Listen, Slash and I are friends. I don't know how well that would go.
You pose it as you want to send a representative of the morning show to go to the show and then review
and rave
on Monday.
About it.
Yes, because April 1st is a Friday.
That's actually not bad.
I think you should do it under one condition, Mark.
Yeah.
That if Axel's 3 hours late because he was finishing his pot roast, Mikey can't bitch about it or mention it on the air.
Oh, no,
you know,
no.
I got to tell you something. If I were, and they said, it's not that he was eating pot roast. Axel has to wait until he's prepared, mentally mm-hmm. psyched up to go. Mm. Dude, get psyched up to go out there at 8. I swear. And if I were Slash and there was talk about reuniting, I would go to him and say, dude, I'm not waiting around for you. We're going on at 9 every night. Mm. Yeah. Can you agree to that?
We'd love for you to join us, but that's what we're going to do.
Okay, let's go to Mick. Mick, what is the worst candy in your opinion?
Well, this may cause a ruckus amongst you guys, but I'm not being un-American by saying it, but I detest Reese's peanut, whatever the hell it is.
Oh, my God.
What?
What's wrong with you?
They make me puke.
I swear to God, that is one of the greatest candies. Chocolate, see, and peanut butter. Yeah. It's like heaven and it's in a wrapper.
Yeah, it's the perfect ratio, too.
Yeah.
If I just had anything with peanut butter in it, that's all.
So you're just not a peanut butter fan?
I'm just not, absolutely.
Mick, can you do us a quick favor?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you hit yourself in the head with your phone? Because we're mad.
I'm on the 405 right now, doing about 70 miles an hour, but yeah, sure, I'll do it.
Thank you, Mick.
Mick, thank you for the call. All right, we welcome in Barbara. Barbara is joining us. She has a television show, 60 Days In, on the A&E Network, Thursdays at 10. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
So explain to us exactly what this show is, and then I'll talk you through it.
So this show is, they take innocent people like myself with no criminal records, and they put us undercover in jail for 60 full days. And the reason for that is because the sheriff was having trouble with his jail. There were things going on that he couldn't solve, and so that was our mission, was to go in there and figure out what is going on, what can we do to help, what can we do to change it, and how can we bring, you know, light to the criminal justice systems in America?
Barbara, prison is scary.
Yes, it is.
And you were there. Was there ever a time when you were in that you felt like you were going to get hurt or be in trouble?
Yes, there was definitely some times in there where fear really hit me pretty hard.
Wow. How many of you went in?
There were seven of us that went in.
And how did you film it without prisoners wondering why are they being filmed?
Well, basically, they were all told that they're filming a documentary on first-timers going into jail. Mm. And, you know, that's kind of true because I really am a first-timer. I've never even been around a jail before. So that's the gist that everyone had. And so we were in there, and they just had surveillance cameras all over the cells, and the entire show is pretty much shot off just surveillance cameras.
Were some of the women that you were in there with, did they kill somebody?
Yes.
Dude, good God. Okay, well, everybody's intrigued about this. This is 60 Days In. Gina.
Yeah, I am so fascinated with this. In fact, I'm apt to volunteer because I'm obsessed with prisons and prison shows and anything that has to do with this subject. You know, I know that there's some bad ladies in there, but there are also probably people that have, you know, at the end of the day, they have good hearts. Is there anyone that you met that you could see yourself continuing to be friends with?
Absolutely. I actually did make some really good friends in there because you live with these people for so long. You learn their stories and, you know, you learn all about them. Mm-hmm. And that's something, you know, that I never expected to take away from this. And I definitely did. And I really wish that I could keep in contact with them.
Gina, here's what I want you to do.
Yeah.
Throw Tim to the side. I want you to marry a convicted murderer and then go in for conjugal visits.
Oh, my God. If you say so, boss.
It'd be good for the show.
All right.
The television show is 60 Days In. It is on the A&E Network, Thursday nights at 10 p.m. Barbara, thank you for the time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Talk to you soon. All right, on the other side of Baby Hold On, we still have our topic, worst candy in your opinion, and are you or were you a side piece? Would love to hear from you.
I never figured you to place quite such a premium on a kiss.
A kiss is the promise of what's to come, Tara. A kiss is Christmas Eve of sex.
Well, when I was a young man and never been kissed, I got
all right. In the world of providing content for radio shows, there are a group of people and they find these stories and they go, okay, this would be good. I'll put this in. Why anybody would put the following story in, because it is so clinical. But so I'm going to very quickly read every word of this and then you tell me. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you'll get a lot out of it. Here we go. Why we close our eyes when we kiss. Kissing someone with their eyes open is creepy. It's just so wrong. And a new study offers up an explanation as to why most people kiss with their eyes closed. Psychologists at Royal Holloway University in London actually figured out while doing an experiment that had nothing to do with kissing at all. They had participants perform a letter search task of either high or low difficulty and then had them respond to the presence or absence of a brief vibration delivered simultaneously to either the left or the right hand. They discovered the more difficult the visual task, the less sensitive a participant was to the tactile stimuli. Researcher Sandra Murphy explains, it was already known that the increased demands of visual tasks could reduce nothing or visual or auditory stimuli. Mm-hmm. Our search extends this finding to the sense of touch. This is particularly important given the growing use of tactile information in warning systems. So when it comes to kissing, we close our eyes in order to focus on the physical sensation of kissing rather than both the visual and physical sensation produced if the eyes were open.
Uh-huh.
that was exhausting.
But why? Who? Why would they put it in there?
You know, I don't know. I think it could have been a little fun fact if you just included the very last sentence and left all that other stuff out.
Exactly. Yeah. So, in essence, it took 3,000 words to say, we close our eyes so that we can enjoy the experience of a kiss. Uh-huh. So that I liked. But to have all that other crap, good God. Here's an idea. Edit it. So Katie, we have a topic going today.
Okay.
The worst candy.
Oh, I love candy. So, but it's got to be the worst.
That's the topic, see.
Okay. And Randy, answer this question right now.
Unless you need time to
I need like 2 minutes. I got to go through my candies in my head.
All right.
Is that
then I'll come back to you in a minute.
Okay,
let's go to Robert. Robert, what is the worst candy to you?
Well, it'd have to be two candies, and they're pretty much the same. Almond Joy and Alms.
Yes! He is so right!
Almond Joy are great!
Whoa, yeah. Robert, yes, marry me. You get it. You completely get it.
What, first of all, before I beat you about the head and neck, what was the second candy you said?
It's Alms.
I don't even know what that is. Okay,
you know,
look.
Alms. M-O-U-N-D-S, you know, it's the same as all.
Mounds.
Wait, you're high. All right, listen, let me tell you something.
This is horrible.
My biggest knock on an Almond Joy is that they don't have enough almonds. I could use like
two.
Six.
They put two almonds in there. What's up
with
that?
I need like six of them lined up.
Yeah.
But then you take, now I'm an Almond Joy guy. I don't usually float to Mounds, even though I do like dark chocolate. And I'm not even a fan of coconut, but I will eat me an Almond Joy, bitch.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, wait a minute now. Let me talk because I called you guys, all right? Let me tell you why I don't like coconut. Uh-huh. Because when I was a kid, when we used to throw out the trash, and it used to get really bad, and it looked like maggots, so to me, those candies look like chocolate-covered maggots. And they suck.
I get you. I completely feel you, Robert.
Robert, thank you for the call.
Hey, Gina, Mark, sorry. A quick question. You pride yourself on music, right? You play a bed underneath a story or a topic because it relates to that topic, right?
Right.
Where's the candy man?
Sugar.
There you go.
I'm playing my own candy music back here.
All right, good. That's a good pull.
I have
I'll
my candy.
It.
Okay. I have it. I know what it is.
Well, then hold on. I'm going to take a break and then we'll come back.
Okay.
Gina, remind me, don't let me go today without telling my maggot story.
Oh, no. Must I?
Yeah, it's pretty good. We'll do business and slide back in here. We'll find out what Katie's worst candy is. This is riveting. 5 minutes away for this. Stay where you are. This is Mark in the Morning.
April is Stress Awareness Month. Well, here's a tip from my friends at Casper. A great night's sleep helps everyone deal with stress, and sleeping on a Casper can help you. Not to mention, they've taken all the hassle out of mattress shopping. It's engineered with two high-tech foams for supportive comfort that guarantee a great night's sleep. Time Magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015. In fact, it's now the most awarded mattress of the century. The mattress ships for free in a surprisingly compact box, by the way. So so it's incredibly easy to get to your bedroom. And you can try it in your own home for 100 nights risk-free. If you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. Reduce your stress with a great night's sleep on a Casper. Try yours for 100 nights in your own home with free shipping and returns. Go to Casper.com and use code Gina, G-I-N-A, for $50 toward the purchase of your mattress. That's Casper.com, Gina, for $50 toward the purchase of your mattress. Casper.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Yes. Oh, no. Oh, no.
When no one else can understand me.
Let's start every break like this.
No. Get it, King.
When everything I do is wrong.
Oh, it's magic.
You give me hope. When Linda and I renewed our vows, I didn't know what she had chosen for our dance. She chose this one.
Aww. Mom.
Let me just get to the hook and I'll stop. Get it, King! So good. Oh, by the way, later this show, I will share with you what I'm pissed about regarding Elvis.
Uh-oh.
And now, we're going to learn which is the worst candy for Katie.
Yes. Okay, I don't know. Wait, was I supposed to wait for the drum roll to end? Okay, great.
Go ahead.
I don't know what they're called, but they are the stupid candies that come in those Valentines that have crap written on them, that have literally no taste.
Sweethearts. Yep. They're disgusting.
Well, yep. I don't. Is it chalk?
It's like minty chalk.
Well, I want to eat some of that. No, it's terrible.
I will tell you, Katie, I Googled the worst candies. That was like number three.
What was number one?
The circus peanuts.
Oh, yeah.
That is the, and I use this term loosely, candy that shot off this whole debate with Josh Fleeger.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever actually had one?
Nope. Mm-mm.
Those squishy circus peanuts. I don't even know what they taste like, but I don't think we should ever try it.
Coming up, we got a little round of On This Day in History. But who can't use a little AC/DC? This is Highway to Hell on Mark in the Morning.
History. That happened, and we all let it happen.
Happy birthday to former Cars frontman Rick Ocasek. He is 67 today. Here, Rick talks about this song.
That's just kind of a little, like, 50s riff. I thought that was a bit like a Carl Perkins song. I was just kind of into a 50s mode on that one. At least I thought I was. And the theme, I don't know where that came from. I was almost kind of like singing at the bend, you know? Because I've been playing with him for so long, and it's just kind of a funny little theme, I thought.
Coffee, Rick. Coffee. It is National Chip and Dip Day.
Ooh. Oh, hell yeah. I know what you're having for lunch.
That's enough of that. It was on this day in 1904, Joan Crawford was born, vilified in the book and movie Mommy Dearest, the Hollywood icon, and best actress in 1946 for Mildred Pierce.
No war hangar!
Every night in my
yes.
It was on this day back in 1998, Titanic won 11 Academy Award.
Yes, they deserve it.
Today is National Puppy Day, a day to celebrate the unconditional love puppies give us, and also a day to bring attention to the need to adopt dogs from shelters and rescues and to educate people about the dangers of puppy mills. Happy birthday. Chaka Khan is 63 today. Question. Chaka Khan sang backing vocals on a number one hit by what rock singer?
Ooh.
Oh, rock singer. I was going to go Prince.
I was too.
Nope.
Oh. I love a little Wynwood.
Yeah.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport.
Now, when I was a kid, ABC Sports on Sunday was a must-see because They were the ones that made Evel Knievel a star. And a kid watching Evel Knievel jump 35 cars or whatever it was just, he was a god. It was on this day in 1972, stunt went wrong. A bad landing after he jumped 35 cars leaves the daredevil with 93 broken bones.
We have 93 bones? That's a lot of bones.
And dude, when I was with Mark and Brian, Evel Knievel was a regular. I never thought that I would ever get to meet him. He would come in anytime and all the time. In fact, we took, you know, the Bob's Big Boy holding up the hamburger?
Yeah.
We took one and we would decorate it to look like Frankenstein at Halloween or what. It was the Elvis Bob. We went to Vegas. Evel Knievel was there and we catapulted the Elvis Bob over the Caesar's Palace fountains that Evel Knievel didn't do and we did. We made a giant slingshot and shot that thing. It was, and he was there.
Give me a head with hair.
And it was lastly on this day in 1969, Jackie Gleason, Kate Smith, the Letterman, and Anita frickin' Bryant, and 30,000 other people appear at a Miami rally for decency. Pre-show publicity warns that, quote, long hairs and weird dressers are not welcomed.
Jackie,
yeah.
That's great.
All right, we'll do business. On the other side, Domino's is now testing delivery robots.
Oh,
a robot
Lord,
will deliver
no.
your pizza to you. Stop. We'll run it through in 5 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning.
When Domino's Pizza delivers, quality comes first.
Thanks to Google, we are closer and closer to having reliable self-driving cars. And thanks to Domino's, we're closer to having pizza delivered to us by a robot. In Australia, Domino's is testing a prototype DRU, or Domino's Robotic Unit, which is a mini robot that has compartments built in to keep pizza hot, cold drinks, as well as a friendly persona, which the chain says will help customers identify and interact with it. The DRU will navigate to customers' locations using GPS and an onboard sensor that detects and helps it avoid obstacles. It travels at 12 and a half miles an hour.
Wait. I got two things real quick. No more tipping, which is awesome. But will Danny now get the pizza from the delivery guy?
Oh, yes. Afraid of it anymore.
He won't care if a robot knows what he's eating.
Will you, Danny?
Unless there's a camera on there and someone's watching me, then.
How does this robot get to my door? Like, what about stairs and elevators and such? It goes through all
the process. It's a robot. It'll find the way.
All right.
So now, before we...
All right. Mark's talking up a little storm. I see his little mouth moving, but ain't no noise coming out. So maybe we'll do a little trending the music. Here we go. Cruz won the Utah caucus last night with 69.2%, and Bernie won with a landslide, 79.7%. Those are both in Utah. The gloves are officially off between Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. The Donald was quoted as saying, quote, "Lion Ted Cruz just used a picture of Melania for a GQ shot in his ad. Be careful, Lion Ted, or I'll spill the beans on your wife." What garbage does he have?
Oh my
we
gosh.
Have to find out. And here's what's trending in sports. The Lakers beat the Grizzlies last night at Staples Center 107-100. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Trending brought to you by Subaru. The Subaru Love Spring event is happening now through March 31st. Coming up, Jackie's going to take you on in a little Name That Tune for some UFC 197 tickets. It'll qualify you. But first, the police. This is Mark in the Morning. All right, we are about to play a little Stump Jackie with Name That Tune. This is going to qualify you for UFC 197 tickets. And it's not just tickets, by the way. It is a whole prize package. A pair of tickets to UFC 197, Cormier versus Jones at the MGM Grand Las Vegas on April 23rd. Plus, a two-night stay at the MGM Grand. Plus, dinner at Shibuya Restaurant. That's right. Now, there's only going to be one winner. So if you're not the lucky winner, you will get your tickets at UFC UFC.com and have a great time at the fight. First, we're going to do what?
Let's go to break, and then we'll come back with that.
Okay, very good. So give us a call, 888-696-1003. That's 888-696-1003. A little name that tune to stump Jackie to qualify for UFC tickets. Be right back.
This is Mark in the Morning.
All right, Mark is still waving his hands.
Got his hands up.
He can hear. This has to be absolute hell. He can hear us, but we can't hear him.
Well, I can hear him in my headphones, but he can't come through the board.
Nice for us, not nice for Mark. So we are in the middle of Name That Tune, Stump Jackie. The first person to stump her gets qualified to go to UFC 197, Cormier versus Jones. That is going to be at MGM Grand Las Vegas on April 23rd, and a two-night stay at the MGM Grand, and dinner at Shibuya Restaurant. Nice. Now, if you're not the one lucky person we whittle it down to on Friday, you can still go. Don't worry. You're just going to get your tickets at UFC.com. All right, who's on the board, Katie?
Wendy from Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
Good morning, Wendy. All right, Danny is going to hit the song. Your name is your buzzer. Good luck, everybody.
Jackie.
What is it?
Oh, it's God. Cream White Room.
Right on, Jackie.
She's like a little encyclopedia.
Oh, I'm so disappointed.
Alrighty, sorry, Wendy. Have a good one.
Let's go to David from Inglewood.
Yeah, hello?
Hello.
Hi, David. Are you okay? Your name is your buzzer. Danny, hit it.
All right, here we go.
Jackie. Fleetwood Mac Rhiannon. I'm
sorry. I love that even when she wins, she sounds defeated.
I feel bad. Okay. Sorry, loser.
Josh from Anaheim.
What? It was right?
Yeah, but like, come on, be easy on the guys here.
Well,
she does
kidding.
Work at a classic
come
rock
on.
Station. All right, Josh, are you there?
All right, I'm going to make this harder now.
All right, your name is your buzzer. Danny is pulling out all the stops. Here we go.
I'm going to make this harder.
Jackie. Free, all right now. All right.
Wait, I kind of feel like that was Tom Jones.
You did two tunes.
No, that Mark's playing.
Mark.
Oh, there we go.
He's back.
Mark, hi, Mark.
We just heard Tom Jones.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
he's back.
Yeah, I was getting ready. All right, we're in the middle
of
it.
I apologize.
The,
yeah. Let you
just everything.
I'm enjoying watching you guys screw this game up more than me.
I told you during the break I didn't know how this was going to be played.
I think I did great.
All right, who's next? Katie?
It's Bobby from Riverside.
Wait, did we even do that last one?
Let's go.
I thought it was. It's all right. Yeah.
Jackie
wins.
I thought it was. It's not unusual to be loved by Tom.
That was by Mark.
Okay.
Oh my God.
And Bobby. Bobby, what's up? Let's
not
get
so
it.
Much. How you doing?
I'm not involved in this.
All right.
let's do this.
Jackie.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
She's good.
What?
Jackie.
Okay. Well,
listen,
okay. I'll
stop answering.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'll just. And everybody's misery.
We need to get a win.
You have to answer if you know it.
This is beyond you know.
It's White Rabbit, Jefferson. Okay, there.
All right, let's try Paul from Whittier.
All right, here we go, Paul.
Okay, there.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There we go. That'll stump her.
No, it won't.
Actually, I couldn't hear that.
Is that Addicted to Love by Robert Palmer?
Finally! Yeah! Oh! Jesus Christ! I'm going to kill everyone! Everyone's on my death list!
Danny. Yes!
In your face, Jackie!
I'm sorry, but I don't like Robert Palmer, so that's why.
Robert.
Whatever his name
neither
is.
Neither do I, but hey. You know, you got to beat Jackie somehow.
That's true. Paul, you have qualified to win the tickets for UFC 197, plus the two-night stay at the MGM Grand, dinner at Shibuya. We will talk to you again on Friday, Paul.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Mark,
would you like to... Do you have anything to say?
Apologies, because my studio went out, and I think that we have a big delay in the broadcast.
Oh, good. Well, how about I tell you a little story about Jared Fogle? Remember him?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Can you not hear us?
Yes, we can hear you.
I can hear you, but there is a really big delay between us.
All right. Well, then I'm going to tell this story about Jared Fogle, because we all remember who that is, right? He was the Subway pitch man. He stands in the big pants, tells you how he worked. Well, he's in prison because he had a little problem with child pornography.
Right. Oh, my God. Right.
So he has been given a new job in jail. He has been assigned in prison, and it shows the correction officers have a little bit of a sense of humor. The former Subway pitchman has been assigned to the cafeteria where he serves sandwiches. Fogle is serving 15 years for child pornography. He was initially assigned to the inmate line in the cafeteria, which angered fellow prisoners who argued that he had an easy job because of his celebrity status? Question mark? So prison officials have moved him to the officer's line instead, which appears to have been done to protect him from other inmates. Fogle was recently beaten up in the prison yard as well. Now, when you're in prison, because, you know, I'm super into prison stuff, the cafeteria and the laundry room are like the gold platinum Cadillac jobs.
Right.
I think it's because they're easier, also because it's easier to smuggle things in.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't know because I'm not in prison.
He's still going to have to, you know, eat flesh.
Oh my lord.
You proud of yourself, Danny?
Payroll coming up, huh?
Danny, I'm turning your microphone off now, and why don't we do a legal and go to payroll, Gina?
Let's do it.
All right.
Well, as Mark would say, we got stacks of cash in this place, and we've got to get rid of it. I'm going to start burning it and use it to light my cigar. Check it!
All right, so we got Robert Zive of Midway City. He's up to $400, getting paid $100 an hour just to listen to some damn classic rock. But right now, we need Steve Yura of Huntington Beach to call 888-696-1003, and you have 10 minutes to call and earn $100 an hour just to listen to classic rock.
Ooh, I'd like to do that. All right, we are going to do some hot stuff.
Sports with Todd next.
Yes!
Yeah.
I don't even know what time it is anymore. Yes. But first, Mikey, take it away.
We got the Stones, man.
You happy?
Yeah.
Are you happy?
I need a beast All to right. make them
don't
burn it.
Don't do it. This is Mark in the Morning.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport. The thrill of victory. And the agony of defeat.
I love that. Todd Donahoe gives us the sports brought to you by Frontier Toyota in beautiful Valencia. Hey, Todd, what's going on in the wide world of sports today?
Great morning to you. And sports here on the Mark of the Morning program. Let's talk about the Lakers. They beat Memphis 107-100. Kobe, 20 points, 7 of 18 shooting. Jordan Clarkson, 22 points. Now, remember, we reported yesterday about the incident Sunday night in Los Angeles where Alexis Jones, an activist on women's violence and sexual harassment, said that she was encountered by Jordan Clarkson, Nick Young, and two others in a big Jeep at intersection at La Brea and Melrose. Well, the official word now is it was a miscommunication. They have reached out to her. They've interviewed the players. They say there are different interpretations of what happened at that intersection, but it's a miscommunication. Going to the NHL, Minnesota 2-1 winners over the Kings. Devin Dubnyk, that's the goalie for Minnesota, 38 saves. In fact, the Kings had 23 shots on goal in the first period and still didn't score. And the Ducks lost to Montreal 4-3 as well. Corey Perry, though, is 30th goal of the season. So good for him. Now to the NFL, and lots of rule changes now. The NFL owners are meeting in Boca Raton. There, if you have two unsportsmanlike conduct penalties now in a game for a player, that player is automatically ejected. New rule. Touchbacks off kickoffs. It used to be that the ball would come out to the 20-yard line. Now it comes back to the 25-yard line, like the college rule. They're eliminating chop blocks. No more chop blocks. The horse collar rule has been extended to grabbing the jersey. If you grab a jersey from behind, you'll get the horse collar. And they're going to keep the extra point from the 15-yard line. Just like they had last year, the snap on the extra point starts at the 15-yard line. That was temporary last year. They're adopting it this year. And Sean Payton has got a 5-year contract extension as the Saints' new coach. Now, Cowboys owner Jerry Jones there said he is not convinced that data shows a link between football and head trauma. He says, in fact, it's absurd to think that football is linked to head trauma. Of course, Jerry Jones probably also thinks in a related story that drinking a liquid battery acid does not necessarily give you an upset stomach. But, I mean, my goodness, Jerry Jones. Mm. Okay, Major League Baseball, of course, the big game in Havana, Cuba yesterday, Tampa Bay. 4-1 winners over Cuba. Castro and Obama, they did the wave together. The crowd chanted Raul, Raul. Derek Jeter and Dave Winfield were there. There was loud music and dancers before the game. The admission was free. You know, I mean, if Bernie Sanders gets elected president, there's going to be free health care, right? Free college, maybe free baseball.
Yeah. I like that.
And then six arrests. There were six arrests at the game from protesters calling for freedom. You know, they wanted freedom. And, of course, they were taken out real quick. Speaking of baseball, the Dodgers lose 3-1 to the Royals. And the real bad news is Andre Ethier is out for 10 to 14 weeks. Now, he fouled a ball of his shin on Friday. They thought it was a bruise. There was really nothing on the x-rays, but now a further CAT scan shows a broken tibia. He's out for 10 to 14 weeks. And then Yasmani Grandal, the catcher, they're not sure what his deal is. He says he has forearm discomfort. Look, I got a sore elbow and I still went out golfing yesterday. Come on. Suck it up. And the Angels. Angels 6-5 winners over Oakland. Hector Santiago pitched into the seventh inning. Mike Trout got an RBI. He's already mid-season form. Hey, that does it for sports. Brought to you by Frontier Toyota in beautiful Valencia. 0% APR on Camrys and Corollas. Enormous selection of certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to FrontierToyota.com. You guys have a great day.
You too. Thank you, Todd.
So, to update, I'm obviously in North Carolina, and my studio went down completely.
Yep.
And then Terry started working on it. Then we got it back, but there was a 7-second delay. I think that delay is gone.
Yeah.
Well, now it's been replaced with a hiccup every four seconds.
A fun choppy sound.
Yeah.
Well, Linda, here's what I'm worried about. My guess is the AT&T people are down at the end of the street working, and this is why this is happening. Here's what's bad for them. Linda has gotten in her car and is heading down.
Yes. Yes.
The wrath of Skeeter.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I'd be terrified.
I was going to say, somebody go down there. She's already on it. Yeah.
All right. Well, coming up, we've got Ricky Schroeder and Alfonso Ribeiro. Just so he knows.
Oh, no.
I've already got it ready. Hopefully we can Facebook Live and we can get him to do the...
Carlton dance?
Do the Carlton.
I'll be weeping.
I'm so pissed.
On the other side of business, Sarah Palin wants to be a television judge.
Oh.
She's about to shoot a pilot and hopes that she can get it picked up. We'll talk all about that in 5. This is Mark in the Morning. All right, now, I was going to tell you the Sarah Palin story, but it pales in comparison to the two men we have in the room. For my money, one of the great actors that I've seen some fantastic moments out of him, Ricky Schroeder, is in the room. Good morning, Ricky.
Good morning, Mark. Good to hear your voice.
Good to be hearing my voice. And Alfonso Ribeiro is here. Alfonso, I watched America's Funniest Videos last night, pound for pound. It is the best television show on the air. I like two things. I like watching dogs fail at being dogs, but my favorite is watching fat people fall down.
Well, you know, we have a lot of both. Yeah, we show a lot of people who are not in shape.
they're a shape. It's just a rounder shape.
Yes, yes. Well, not in good physical right. shape. Do things that they probably shouldn't try to do.
Oh my God.
All right, if you can't lift yourself up, you shouldn't swing from a rope. That's all I'm saying. You know, there's no size, there's no right, there's
the
no
fact
wrong.
Is, I mean, heavy women are very attractive. Let's be honest.
Yes.
Heavy men are not so attractive. Would you
What are you trying to say, Rick?
We're going to talk about a bunch of stuff.
Oh, thank you.
You're a rock.
That was a great way of fishing. Fishing.
Ricky and I have history. We're going to talk about that. We're in the middle of a Silver Spoons reunion, and so we're going to get all into that on the other side of Heart. This is Barracuda on Woo! Mark in the Morning. All right.
I just say, hey, you.
All right, so we have a lot to discuss with these two gentlemen. In the room is Rick
E.
Schroeder.
Ricky,
you
Ricky. Right, no way.
Oh, I still want to curse you out right now.
He blamed me because for all that time when you were little, it was Ricky Schroeder, and then when you got all big, it became Rick. And now, how did
the way you say it with such relish, it just makes me want to vomit.
But how am I to blame for the Ricky thing?
I'm waiting for this myself. I want to see how he blames
you. Because you made fun of me with Brian for 15 years about it. in the largest demographic in the country where I live.
Yes, but Ricky, we were all making fun of you too.
Yeah, but you're my friend.
It just this didn't guy, go through a radio signal.
This guy has a big audience.
Yeah. All right, so I
want to back
see
to Ricky, if, Mark. It's back to Ricky.
Okay, no more Rick. It's Ricky.
Yes.
Now, I want to see if you remember this. Brian and I went over to your house one morning, and we were. I don't remember if we knocked on the door or I think maybe we did live on the radio. Your father, he was pissed. And then you had to call him and go, no, Dad, they're cool. It's okay. Do you remember that?
I do remember that, but I have no idea why you were peering through the windows of my house. Why were you there?
Because you're Ricky Schroeder.
No.
Not reason.
You were there.
Not reason.
You were there for another reason. Admit it. You were there to humiliate me in some way, some motive that I don't know yet. Be honest. Why were you there, Mark?
Dude, I can't remember breakfast like I'm going to remember that. Now, this is kind of cool. By these two being in the room, we're actually enjoying a Silver Spoons reunion with you two. Now,
beautiful.
We're enjoying it. Yeah. I don't know if you guys are enjoying it.
Well, I don't think our reunion ever needed to happen because we just always stayed together.
Good memories. And this is a friend for life. So, I mean, it's really cool that you brought us in to hang out together. I mean, he honestly, Alfonso is my best friend growing up. And there's no doubt about it. And
well, I was your only friend growing up, so.
Okay. Is everybody just going to... Should I leave?
Well, you were my only friend, too. So, you know, I mean, it's even.
Not true. You had so many friends. He is so social. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
I get that. But not friends. Yeah. Like you know, you have your acquaintances, right. But not friends. Like, right. We could always count on each other through our years. You know what I mean? Like, that was never a question.
All right, well, these two guys, the reason they're in is the Toyota Pro Celebrity Race. This is the 40th and final Toyota race.
Yeah.
We talked to Adam Carolla about this the other day. It is the largest field ever at 22 participants, 20 of which are past winners. This is a 10-lap race on a 1.97-mile street course in downtown Long Beach. Now, have you both won?
Yes. Yeah,
you've won multiple times, right?
Yeah, I've won 3 times. Ooh. Twice as a celebrity, once as a pro. And I'm the reigning champion, I guess. I'm the overall winner last year. Wow. So, you know, I won twice back in the 90s and to be honest with you, Rick E is the is the one who got me into it. Like he went and did it one year and invited me 88 and invited me to come hang out
and won.
And you won, yeah. Yes, but I had an opportunity to like sit through all the practice and I fell in love with it through Ricky. So, yeah. You know,
we had a lot of firsts together. We won't go into all of those.
This is interesting. You guys are obviously fans of race. I've never followed NASCAR, but living in North Carolina, my next door neighbor, we hang out, we talk, and he comes in and talks, is Hall of Famer Rusty Wallace.
Of course.
Yeah.
Now, what is the key? I tell you what, I'm going to get into this a minute because I want to find out what the key is to driving well because you both obviously are quite good at it. So I want to know what that's about. If you just joined us, Ricky Schroeder and Alfonso Ribeiro are in the room. They're involved in this Toyota race. We'll come back and speak more about that in 5 minutes. This is Mark in the Morning. Now this is a story all Alfonso, are you sick of hearing this?
No, this is actually the one I enjoy more than that other one. I'm good when they play Will's song, you know. This is the theme song. I'm good with that one.
You don't
it's that
Silver
song
Spoons.
That they put... No, I like that. No, I'm saying it's the other song from Fresh Prince.
What song might that be,
oh, you
Mark?
Stop it. Stop it. Yeah, you bugger. Yeah, you knew exactly what you were doing, didn't you, Ricky?
That's okay. What? Alfonso won't dance, but Ricky will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So if you just joined
us,
we have Ricky Schroeder and Alfonso Ribeiro. So real quickly, because we're going to come back in a minute and do the island questions with both of you, but you're both going to be in this final Toyota race. In a brief description, what does it take to be a good driver? My guess is you have to have no fear.
I mean, I would say that you can't be fearful in the car. I mean, you have to have no fear. But I think the key to racing is understanding two things, the line and braking. Mm.
And knowing how to brake properly, there's so much time in that. And so if you can understand where to put the car on the track and you understand braking, you've gotten most of what you need to be fast. Then there's a whole other level to being really fast, but in terms of actually being fast, understanding line and braking.
Are you guys going to have someone in your ear?
No.
Oh, wow. So you're on your own. You're going rogue.
Somebody talk to me, though.
Ricky, how about you?
I hear voices. So maybe
you can pass him. Go get him.
All right, so we're going to come back with the island question in just a second. Let's find out what's trending here. Gina Gratt.
Thank you. Well, Hillary Clinton continued to beat Bernie Sanders in the coveted Arizona primary on Tuesday evening. Sarah Palin, as Mark suggested earlier, has inked a deal to headline her very own daytime series in the vein of Judge Judy. So we'll all enjoy that. A 12-year-old girl.
No, we won't.
Yep. A 12-year-old girl from Florida was arrested and is facing misdemeanor battery charges after something that I'm sure Mark experienced a lot growing up, pinching a boy's butt at school. Misdemeanor battery charges.
What?
Wow. Yeah, don't
Mark
touch anyone.
Mark was pinching boys' butts in school?
Hey, man, you're not here as often as we are. We hear everything.
Why do you think we keep them in the computer?
I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Trending brought to you by Subaru. The Subaru Love Spring event is happening now through March 31st. Coming up, more with Ricky Schroeder and Alfonso Ribeiro. They have to answer the island questions. But first, the cars. This is Mark in the Morning.
If you just joined us, in the room is Ricky Schroeder.
Good morning.
Alfonso Ribeiro. We're going to do the island questions. And what makes the island questions brilliant is that we can learn a lot about who you are by these five or six very simple questions. So Alfonso will answer first. Ricky will then answer. Here we go.
Mark?
Yes.
Ricky's dancing again.
I'm doing the hula.
He's doing the hula.
This is music. It's got me.
I love a guy who enjoys his life. All right, here we go. You're going to go live the rest of your life on an exotic, deserted island. You can take one kind of candy bar that you will eat the rest of your life. What candy bar is that, Alfonso?
Does it have to be a candy bar or candy?
Oh, just answer the damn question.
I mean, I just, you know, that's the best way to...
It's a fair question. Logical.
I mean, I'm just saying, okay,
he's
you know, since we'll just go, you know, I'm going to go with my Snickers.
All right,
very
that's
popular
the number
answer.
One answer. Ricky.
Yeah, but that's not my
answer.
Yep.
Butterfinger.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a first.
Wait, I can hang with you, dude.
Alfonso would like to go to the judges because that's not his favorite candy.
Okay, so go.
The judges have agreed. Go with what you want.
Oh, M&M's. Peanut M&M's.
Oh, dude.
Okay.
Do you know what I inherently do? I put it in my mouth.
Saying.
I do this every time.
Just saying.
I crack the M&M. I separate the peanut from, and I eat the peanut
last.
Who
cares, last. Mark? Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Right, then you eat the peanut, right? You work your way. You break it in half. You get the chocolate, and you break it off. You chew that up. Then you break off the other half. You got your peanut left. It's like a separation of all kind of wonder. It's beautiful.
All right, so for the rest of your life, you're going to eat one kind of food on the island. What food will it be, Alfonso?
I'm going to guess for you.
Go ahead.
What you like, right? Not what the judges say. Right,
no, what I like.
Pizza.
Wrong.
Wrong? Guess for me.
Sushi.
Pizza.
Mine is a cheeseburger.
Oh, nice. Oh, good choice.
Okay.
Good choice.
All right, now you've brought up a serious
topic.
Think
about it. It has everything you need in it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right?
To survive on an island.
If you're going to get the best cheeseburger, where does Alfonso go?
Well, I mean, in Los Angeles, it's clearly, no. Ricky was mouthing me. I'm an In-N-Out guy.
Yeah.
Now. Yeah. I'm an In-N-Out guy.
Fat burger.
Yeah, fat burger's good. Okay. You can take one album, Alfonso. What will it be?
One album I'm going to take. Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Yeah. Nice.
Oh, good. That's okay.
Strong
Ricky.
Choice.
Hotel California.
Strong nice. Choice. Nice.
You can take one movie, Alfonso.
One movie. You know, it's like, it's probably going to get laughed at, but probably The Hunt for Red October.
Wow. Over and over again for the rest of your life?
Listen, there's no movie I want to see over and over for the rest of my life, but that's one that's like brainless.
Well, yeah, at least you'll be able to sleep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, The Champ, dude.
I'm just joking.
You know what?
You are.
No, I'm just joking, dude.
So vain.
The Wizard of Oz, actually.
Oh, okay, that's
but Ricky,
sweet.
Ricky, I want to say this. You're
okay, Aladdin.
Ricky, your performance in The Champ as a kid was breathtaking.
Okay, okay. Do you know how hard it is to be told you did the best job of your life when you were freaking seven? Can you stop?
If you just joined us in the room is Ricky Schroeder and Alfonso Ribeiro. Okay, on the island, dead or alive, you can take one person for conversation. Who do you want to talk to, Alfonso?
I'm going to go with Gandhi.
Not
okay,
Ricky.
Good answer.
Not Ricky.
Okay.
Whoa, one person.
Can't be a family member or a wife.
Oh, brother.
Or a brother.
Oh. Can I pass?
No.
There ain't nobody I want to talk to that long, that much, ever.
You see why I chose Gandhi. He don't talk that much.
Yeah, he'll shut up every once in a while.
That dude will go into thought for like 3 days.
I don't know.
Days.
David Hasselhoff would be a good choice. And
what?
Strong
choice.
Would be entertaining.
Yeah.
Strong
okay.
choice.
Thanks.
Good answer.
For sexual, Hoff?
For sexual gratification, can't be a wife or a significant
what?
Other.
What?
Dead or alive, they can be in their prime. Who do you take, Alfonso?
Sophia Loren.
Did he say ooh. No sex? What did
no,
you say?
Sex. For she is yours or he is yours forever going at it. Who do you take, Ricky?
No pressure.
Yeah. By the way, we have wives.
Our wives?
Yeah, you can't. No, no, no. Can't
but
take the
but we're not
wives.
Allowed to take our
can't
wives.
Can't take the wives.
That's it, you no. know.
Oh, my gosh. Megan Fox?
Strong choice.
Okay.
Are you,
and lastly,
are you dead serious right now? Listen. Okay, oh. You do realize
that we're racing
that
Ryan
is going to take you out of the race now, right? Like, you've got no shot making it through turn one
yeah,
with
shots,
Brian.
Shots fired.
Just joking. Just dude. Joking, dude.
If you could return, and this is the last one, if you could return to any point in your life, when would it be, Alfonso?
Well, Ricky was seven.
so you know, listen, I got to be honest with you. It's like, I'm loving where I'm at right now.
Mm. We've gotten
am,
that answer before.
I am
before.
Really, really happy with where I'm at right now. Like, I wouldn't want to live my 20s over again.
Really?
Like, I wouldn't, like, during the Fresh Prince heyday, I actually wouldn't want to do that
because
again.
Because we'd like you to live your 20s over again.
Right. But, like that was great on one aspect. Mm-hmm. But, like, being young and immature and yeah. not fully understanding the world as I do today, like, I'm much happier today with my current situation.
Nice.
I love that. Ricky.
Yeah. You know, I really enjoyed, you know, when we were a young
seven.
Family.
Seven.
In my mid-20s, late-20s, with just having new babies and just, you know, he's got new babies
right
now.
So, right.
So he's like in the glory days of that. And, you know, my babies now are 24, 22, 19, and 14.
Wow.
So, yeah, but I really miss those days when it was just like, you know, 7, 9-year-old boys on the ice hockey rink and you're just watching them play. And you know, those are days I miss, yeah.
Love that. Ricky Schroeder and Alfonso Ribeiro are in the room. They're going to be driving in the Toyota Pro Celebrity Race. Qualifying is April 15th. Race is April 16th. We'll give you a bunch of information if you want to get tickets. We're going to do business. When we come back, we're going to jump into a rousing round of what you carrying.
Oh, we're going to find out what they're packing.
Yeah, so stand by.
Hey,
we'll do business and get back. This is Mark in the Morning. So, in the room is Ricky Schroeder and Alfonso Ribeiro. They're driving in the Toyota Pro Celebrity Race, and I'm going to share something with you now that a lot of you do not know.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Little Michael Jackson. Little
Alfonso,
Pepsi.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Share with everybody what I'm referring to.
Well, there's a Pepsi commercial in 1984 with Michael Jackson. It was called The Kid. And there was these kids dancing in the street. It was me. I moonwalk back into Michael Jackson. I'm shocked. And then we dance. And then he leaves.
Do you know that I watched that? I just stumbled across it. It holds up to this day. It is just a really very nice piece of work. I think I probably will know the answer to this, but was there much hanging out with Michael on that set?
Not a lot, of course not. I mean, you know, even then, Michael was, had the security and all of that. But the best part of it was hanging out, like, in rehearsals. You know, him coming in and all of us kids learning the dances and him coming in and doing rehearsal with us was probably pretty special. I hung out with Michael a bit afterwards.
Do you remember him showing up with Silver Spoons?
Oh, absolutely.
What?
Yeah.
He showed up on set. I looked over and it was Michael Jackson there to see Alfonso. And then Alfonso introduced me to him after like the Universal Amphitheater concert. We went and said hi to him. You took me in to say hi to him. And I remember I said something to him and it helped me. I said, Michael, how did you like, you know, make a transition from a little Jackson 5 to like the epic guy you are in music? And he's like, the trick was staying inspired.
Ooh, I like
staying
that.
Staying inspired.
Mm-hmm. And Alfonso, was he a likable person?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the thing about Michael that I think most people never really understood was how intelligent he was and how everything that he did was not, like, just by accident. Everything was calculated. Everything was done on purpose. Even all of the, you know, the bones and the you know, the monkey and like they were
bubbles.
It was all bubbles. It was all calculated, like
by design.
He knew how to manipulate the press.
Lisa Marie
and all of it.
Yeah,
all of it. Like it was always thought out.
You know, to this day, when I hear a piece of music from Michael, I get angry that he's, because he, you know, a lot of people think about the stuff that you just mentioned, the plastic surgeries, and but the bottom line is he was a freaking genius.
No question. No question. The music, to me, it's, you know, the music that he made was the best music ever created. I think he's truly the number one artist in history. And, you know, look, we all have our own definition of what makes someone a genius and what we all love. But it's hard to find a person that doesn't like a Michael Jackson song, you know, old and young, you know, alive when he was making his music or not. You find kids. It's like I find my little ones. And it's like you play a Michael Jackson song and they're automatically up and listening and moving. He was a genius and he made incredible music.
You know, to listen to this and realize that the dude was 10.
And Alfonso could do it now.
Yeah.
Now, great Ricky, music. You brought up something that I wanted to talk about. A lot of child actors in this town, they have great success, and then there's a tough period transitioning into acting as an adult. But because you're so deeply talented, you have continued. Because you made a joke, my best work was at 7. I've seen some of your stuff as an adult that was breathtaking. How did you find the transition? Is Hollywood tough on that transition?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a war zone out there. It's a battlefield. You know, you don't get through this town without a lot of scar tissue, Mark. And, you know, but the thing about scars is, you know, they heal stronger than the skin around them, or broken bones heal stronger than the bone around where the break happened. So it's just a matter of commitment. You know, do you commit to something and are you going to see it through and are you going to persevere? And those are the things that fortunately I was taught as a young boy. I don't know how I learned them, but I was taught them, you know, to never, ever, ever give up on the things that you want to attain in life.
And would you encourage or dissuade your kids from going into the industry, or you're just letting them do their thing?
You know, I want to support them and what they want to do. I'm certainly not encouraging it by any means. But if that's what they choose, then I'll do everything I can to help them find the success that they need. Nice. But I don't think anybody's choosing it in my kids. None of my four kids are really choosing. I got two boys who are out and doing real estate, and I got two girls actually that are they're modeling, but it's kind of different than acting.
Yeah. Okay, Alfonso Ribeiro and Ricky Schroeder in the room. We're going to play a rousing round and do it quickly because we're close to getting out of here for the hour. But what are they carrying? This, now don't pull your money out yet. We're going to take a guess based on what we've learned about you, how much money we think you have on you, how much cash.
They are each making the greatest facial expressions right now.
All right, so we'll do Ricky first. Mikey.
I'm going to go $67.
I like it. Gina?
I feel like
Ricky's more of a plastic guy. Doesn't carry a lot of... Well, no, he has kids. He has kids. They need cash for stuff. I'm going bigger. I'm going 212.
Ooh, Jackie.
70.
Jackie's pretty good at this. Ricky is a blue-collar working man. I'm going to say 100.
All
right. 20, 40, 60, 82,
20, 40, 60,
83, 370.
Whoa! Without going over right here, baby. wait, Mark, did you tell them off the air that the winner gets to keep their money?
No, I didn't. Rick, I give your money to Gina.
Thank you.
Okay, Alfonso, Mikey.
That was a tough one because I thought Alfonso had all the money and Ricky had not all the money in his pocket because I think you have a money clip. For some weird reason.
I love how he's staring me down as if I'm supposed to give him some sort of look.
You're totally getting profiled
right
now. The
poker face, you know.
$525.
Wow, Gina.
Yeah, I feel like he's more of a credit card guy, but I'm getting a feeling that he does like to carry a bit of cash. I'm going 400.
Whoa, Jackie.
Alfonso, I know you're fancy. It has to be like, I don't, you guys took the good answers. I'll say 450.
Yeah, y'all are high. It's $50. Alfonso, pull out your cash.
Money clip.
It's going to take me a minute.
He did have a money clip.
Oh my God.
Oh, no.
2, 3,
20, 40, 60,
those are some big bills.
453.
Yeah, Mikey gets 553.
Hand
it over.
Damn. You guys are pretty close.
I'll give you my prescription card.
Okay. What kind of meds do you got?
Good stuff.
Well, you know, my son has a cold, so I had to, you know, I had to get him his meds yesterday.
These two gentlemen are going to be in the 40th and final Toyota Pro Celebrity Race, the largest field ever at 22 participants, 20 of which have won it in the past. Now, I know you guys are going to be balls to the... You both want to win this. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah.
Needless I love that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, you want to defend your title.
I
want
to... Listen, my goal here is to be the only four-time winner. There are... Well, actually, there are a couple people way in the past that won more than four. Pernelli Jones, I think, as a pro, won more than that. But there's a couple of three-time winners... But I want to be the only four-time winner.
And you can see this race. All you have to do is call for tickets, 888-82-SPEED. That's 888-82-SPEED. Or go online, GPLB. That's for Grand Prix Long Beach, GPLB.com.
So do me a favor. If both of you want to jump on the phone after the race and chat about it, regardless of what the outcome is, I'd love to hear stories about the race itself.
We can do that.
If we can make that work, we're going to make it work.
All right. So go to...
I got
to
shoot a couple episodes of America's Funniest Home Videos that next day. So it might be, I'm running out of the car and going to work, but we'll see whether we can squeeze some time in.
I'm here for you, Mark. I'm here for you.
Ricky, Alfonso, I have been a fan of both of you for such a very long time. Thank you for coming in. I think we all had a blast with you.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having us.
Check out The Fighting Season, Mark, on iTunes.
Oh, cool. Are you doing that?
Yeah. I was in Afghanistan for 4 months, made a docuseries about it. So, The Fighting Season.
Very cool. I absolutely... Say it again.
The Fighting Season on iTunes.
We'll put a link on Mark in the Morning.
Ricky, Alfonso, we will talk with you soon.
Absolutely. Okay. Thanks, Mark.
Coming up, we're going to talk about the president's trip to Cuba. How's it going? We'll get that done. But first, let's give away some cash and a legal ID. This is Mark in the Morning.
Yes.
Let's take a look at the world of trending. Here's Gina Grant.
Well, I like how you said that. The rideshare company Uber is inviting hackers to find bugs in its system so that it can improve its software. The Armani brand has decided to stop using fur in their designs starting in the fall. It's faux fur or nothing. And an irate man with an axe to grind at a sushi restaurant in Studio City apparently took his anger out in a crazy way by throwing a 13-foot python at the customers!
Oh, my God.
Oh, man, that was crazy. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is Queen.
Following the deadly terrorist attacks Tuesday in Brussels, security has been raised at transportation hubs around the U.S., although Homeland Security Secretary Jen Johnson says there's no specific credible intelligence of any plot to conduct similar attacks here in the U.S. Johnson, however, warned about the threat of lone terrorist actors, adding in a statement, "We are concerned that such radicalized individuals or small groups could carry out an attack in the homeland of with little warning." Travelers in New York were a little concerned about their safety.
"I'm coming here to one of the main airports in the world today, and something happened in Brussels. So you wonder, you know, you look out.
And it's very unsettling. There's nothing we can do about it, but it seems to be worldwide and not isolated to one particular area."
And on a related note, it may have only been an exhibition baseball game, but in reality, it was much more. Yesterday's game featured Major League Baseball's Tampa Bay Rays taking on the home team, the Cuban national team, and President Obama and Cuban President Raul Castro took in the game seated next to each other. The fact the game took place on the same day as a deadly attack in Brussels only added controversy, with Republican presidential candidates questioning Obama's decision to remain in Cuba and attend the game.
"I'm coming here."
Wrong one.
"It's always a challenge when you have a terrorist attack anywhere in the world, particularly in this age of 24/7 news coverage. You want to be respectful and understand the gravity of the situation. But the whole premise of terrorism is to try to disrupt people's ordinary lives."
Agreed. And, you know, when something like this happens, it is deathly frightening, and the knee jerk is to pull the purse a little closer to your body,
right.
and you're a little nervous about going to the movie and all these kind of things, and that is a natural normal. But I agree fully with what the president just said. The basis of it is to disrupt your life, and mm-hmm. you really kind of can't give in to that. You got to kind of just be careful, but you got to go ahead and go along with it, I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he has an office inside Air Force One that's basically like the Oval Office. He can do anything from inside that office anywhere in the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. A little Snapple fact for you.
You've said that before. Now, I've never drank a Snapple. Do they put little fun facts under
the
cap or something?
Yes, they put them in the exactly, Mark. And it's about the size. Well, I don't think you'd be able to read it. It's very, very small, and it's always a little factoid, and you'd love it.
All right. Today, after I've had chips and dip, because it's National Chip and Dip Day,
right.
mm-hmm. I'm going to have a Snapple.
Now, you may or may not like the actual Snapple itself, but you will probably enjoy the fun fact.
What's your dip of choice?
Well, we've got a Mexican restaurant here where their guacamole is, mm-hmm. I would kill a person to have that.
Mm-hmm.
So
intense.
I think that's going to have to be it.
Cool.
Mikey, it is your turn.
All right, this is something I never want you to ever do to me, Mark.
Okay. Oh, no.
Touch me. By the doors. Mark in the morning.
I thought it was going to be Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
Hump day done. Uncle Joe 10 at 10.
Oh, we got the year coming up that Flashdance came out. Remember Flashdance? Ooh. Remember the year?
83.
You know, that's pretty good. That's the first time you've actually nailed one
yes!
of these.
I know my Jennifer Beals.
And Danny wishes he did too. 1983 is the 10 at 10 today here on The Sound.
Tomorrow, we have Classic Rock News with Sal. We have Jackie's Throwback Thursday, Melissa Rausch, and John C. McGinley, so we're packed. Mikey!
I need some laundry! Make it dirty.
Oh, man.
Don Henley on Mark in the Morning. The Mark in the Morning podcast is sponsored by Casper Mattress. Go to Casper.com and use the offer code Gina for $50 off your purchase.
Want more Mark in the Morning? Live and in living color in Southern California. Listen weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 100.3 FM.